going on out there, everybody, and thank y'all so very much for joining us here on this cool day at Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, sitting across from me is the Kool-Aid Kid, the man himself, representing his family's home state, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios. It's a cool morning.
I'll dig the hoodie.
I dig the cold weather. It's December. It's supposed to be cold. When it gets warm, I get bummed out. I was hanging Christmas lights all weekend.
It's supposed to be cold.
And I was out there in a shorts and a t-shirt.
Oh, like, I know,
this
right?
This doesn't feel right.
I know. He's got his Jersey Devils on. He's neck deep in hockey. Folks, for those that aren't elitist, that didn't listen to it, I'm back from the hunts. No animals were harmed during the making of the hunts.
And that's unfortunate.
It was very unfortunate. My freezer is still empty, but there's still time.
Is your belly?
Sadly, right now, yes. I need a little something, something. I had me a little breakfast sandwich this morning. I whooped up, so I was good, but not now. Now I'm getting a little hungry. The coffee's wore off. I had to drink coffee to try to get warm.
Yeah, I'm hungry too, man.
Man, we might have to grab a bite after this, but everything's going well. Hope everybody's got all their shopping done, all their gathering done. You got stuff going on. Folks, before we even get started, this is a hard time of year for a lot of people, right? It's emotionally hard. It's physically draining for a lot of folks. Look, you're not alone. Everybody feels it. Check in on one another. Look, don't let it get you down, for real. If you're having problems, reach out to some folks, man. Ask for help. We got to get into the next year. Don't give up on this, for sure.
That's right.
Don't let it get you down. Look, we've all been down. We all get down. Hell, Kyle and I get down all the time, too, man. Do not let it get to you. It's just life.
That's right.
Right? Just trudge forward. Just here we go. This is what we're doing. It'll make a funny story one day.
If you're having a bad time, it won't last forever. Things will get better.
It will get better.
That's why you got to appreciate it when it's going good.
That's right.
You never do, though, right? I never do.
Well, the older I get, the more I do. Right? The more you. And another thing, health.
Yeah.
My goodness, man. The only thing that matters to me pretty much anymore is I just want to be healthy.
Yeah.
Right? Because that just ruins all the fun. But I'll tell you something else that ruins your fun. For those that listened on the last Elite show, I've talked about some creepy canine encounters. And not just some. They all came from the great state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, what is it?
I don't know what's up. What's up with all you Pennsylvania Dutch bringing wild dogs up there?
It's crazy. Pretty cool story from Pennsylvania as well. So go ahead.
Okay. You're gonna like this one. First of all, it's a spiky haired thing. I knew Kyle was gonna like this. Says I moved to Doylestown, Pennsylvania.
Pelequin. Remember that? What was the name of that movie? Nightbreed.
Side note. I ran into Jimmy Tooley the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, one of our old friends. Like, literally, Kyle and I went to elementary school with him. That was the first, and I think I've talked about this, that was the first movie I ever saw intoxicated was Nightbreed. I was in seventh grade with Jimmy Tooley.
Really?
Dude, we got a beer. His sister and her boyfriend had beers and gave us beers. It was like seventh or eighth grade. We went to the theater on the square.
Yeah.
And
Do you remember the type of beer it was? Was it Coors?
I think it was. I think it was literally Yellow Bellies is what I'm almost positive. Because there was no way a child of my age could drink the red and white dynamite.
10 million team ropers can't be wrong.
Dude, you ain't lying. You ain't lying at all. Yeah, it was Yellow Bellies. It was the Coors
the
original.
Beer.
Banquet beer, baby. Pretty sure. And my little self, you just drink them as fast as you can. I remember being buzzed. I think I had two.
Some Colorado Kool-Aid.
Man, I remember being buzzed up trying to walk up the stairs to see our old movie theater was upstairs. It was crazy because it was jam-packed in a little tiny building.
There's people with bigger home theaters at their house.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So I watched Nightbreed in the studio or in the theater drunk. I wouldn't suggest that as a kid, all right? I'm not saying it was right. I'm just saying it's what we did. And it will leave a lasting impact on you when you watch that with the dude with the knife, the psychologist. I almost went with that for Halloween. The mask.
Yeah, yeah. See, I read the book first, Clive Barker.
I read the book first.
Well, we didn't have cable television.
I'm surprised he could
read. That's all we had. We didn't have cable TV. I think we had 8 channels.
We did.
And we had one TV. So.
And you had to dial that one in like a safecracker.
Yeah.
So this took place, sorry, folks, in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. See, this is what happens. Kyle and I get in studio, and it goes on like this for an hour before we ever start recording.
Oh, Doyle rules. Go ahead.
So, it's just to be closer to my son and grandchildren. And I found a small cabin-like apartment in Bucks County, I need to move to that county because there's no bucks in my county. Yeah. Surrounded by farms and woods.
I live in Spike County.
I wished I could see anything other than Pigs County. So it says, I signed my lease on August 6th. On the evening of August 7th, 2020, my son and I visited the apartment to move some belongings in. While we're standing at the back of his truck in the driveway, we both turned around unexpectedly. We noticed a strange black creature creeping at the end of the driveway, trying to pass us towards the farm across from my cabin. It quickly turned around and vanished. Now, we both agreed it didn't resemble a dog or a coyote. We finished unloading that evening, and I kept asking my son what he thought that creature was. He said he didn't know, but it definitely looked odd. So I just decided to write it down, as I've always done. 7 months later, on March 1st, 2021, it was cold and windy early morning. I put the trash out hours earlier and was working on my computer when I heard a loud bang. Immediately, I knew it was my trash can. So I put on my jacket and my shoes and grabbed my flashlight. And it was a little after 3 a.m. And since it was pitch dark outside with wildlife in the area due to the nearby woods and farmland, I needed a flashlight to see as I walked down the driveway to the road. All I can think about is a black bear hiding out down there.
Right.
Watch me urinate all down myself. As I reached the trash can, I began pulling it up. I heard a car horn and the sound of someone slamming on the brakes. Looking towards the stop sign, I saw a black figure illuminated by the car's headlights standing in the middle of the road. Now, this figure dropped to all fours and started heading in my direction. I also noticed the driver standing in the road. Within seconds, the beast had reached my driveway, noticed my flashlight, and then stood up on two legs, boxing with its front paws and growling. So I don't know if this thing starts throwing like a 1-2. I don't know what it's doing.
It's like shadow boxing.
You're fixing to get this. Get beat up by the front paws of a dog. Its growl sounded almost like a snore. It had yellow eyes, stood about 6 foot tall. It had black spiked hair and drool dripping from its mouth. Suddenly the car peeled out, made a left turn towards my driveway. The creature dropped back to all fours and disappeared in an instant. The car stopped in front of my driveway, and the driver yells out, "What the hell was that?" before continuing down the road. "Peace, get inside," and just drove off. I walked backwards, shaking nervously toward my front door. Once inside, I felt upset and couldn't shake my head and just shook my head in disbelief as I stood by the door with the outside light on, waiting for that car to return. After a few minutes, the vehicle sped by my driveway and continued in the same direction it had been heading when it encountered the creature. I guess it sounds like they turned around and went off after it, right?
Yeah.
The creature resembled something from a horror movie, exaggerated and grotesque. And I know what I saw. I don't drink, not doing drugs. There's no fun in that. I care for my wife, who suffered a massive heart attack and has dementia. I haven't seen this creature since that night, but when I sit outside at night now, I feel the need to have two guns with me. What's up?
Instead of two chains, he's two guns.
One for each of you. I've researched this, but haven't found anything related. I'll keep looking in case something comes up, but I hope to never see this creature again, and I still think about it anytime I go out there to relax. Now, it says it would be interesting about hearing other stories if anyone else had anything like this happen. So, you know, you may think this sounds crazy, but I have a background in law enforcement, having worked for the police and fire department in Baltimore County, Sparrows Point Police, High Tech Security, Private Bodyguard Services, Bank Security, Baltimore Soccer Security, and even Pinkerton Security. D.
Oh, wow.
So, like, got both guns, knows, but... undoubtedly yeah. Does not like whatever this thing is. It almost sounds like some crazed dog man.
That's what it sounds
but
like.
Again, but again, we're in Pennsylvania, man. So, okay. Lay your Pennsylvania story.
Okay,
me,
check
bud.
This out. It says, I have an encounter to report that I thought you might find interesting as it happened in Pennsylvania.
Oh, here we go.
I grew up in a suburb of Erie, about a quarter mile from the shores of Lake Erie. Although our house faced a busy road, it was surrounded on three sides by very thick woods, giving it a feel of a countryside home.
Nice.
I was 10 years old at the time, so this was almost 50 years ago. One night, I was awakened by a rap-tap-tapping on my closed bedroom window. Now, looking over, I saw the dark outline of something with its face very close to the window, appearing to be looking in at me.
Uh-oh.
Terrified, I dove under the covers, convincing myself that it had to be a bad dream and that I would wake up later.
How I Met Your Mother.
However, it was not a dream. I was fully awake. Whatever was outside continued tapping for several more minutes, and the noise became louder and more persistent. I couldn't understand what was happening because my bedroom was on the second floor.
Whoa, wait a minute. You left that part out.
Right? And I didn't have a balcony. How could someone be standing outside my second story window? Now, in my 10-year-old mind, I came to the only conclusion I could think of. It had to be a witch. To me, the only thing that could hover in midair was a witch.
Mm-mm.
After what felt like an eternity, though, probably was only a few minutes, I bolted upright in bed and screamed at it to leave, then dove back under the covers. In those brief seconds, I faced it and saw that it had an sheen, almost white, expressionless face with two round, beady, dark eyes. No prominent, smiling mouth, nothing like that. No nose, no mouth. Imagine a white, smiley face with two black dots for eyes and not a smiling mouth.
No thanks.
It did not resemble a witch, but that was my only explanation that made sense to me at the time. I don't know how long I stayed under those covers. It felt like forever. The knocking, well, it eventually stopped. And when I finally gathered the courage to look out the window again, whatever it was had disappeared. The next morning, I told my parents about it, but of course, they insisted that it was just a dream. I knew without a doubt that it wasn't. Over the years, I've searched online for stories of similar accounts. The ones that resonate with me the most are those of large bird-like people. Since you've received numerous reports of large flying cryptids in the Chicago area, I thought there might be a connection to the Great Lakes. Who knows? Life truly is stranger than fiction. Keep up the good work. KH.
Ooh.
So to me, it sounds more like an alien abduction.
Alien.
Right? White colored face, large black eyes. Well, she said beady black eyes, but.
But I don't know. Maybe it was something just evil, getting a little juiced up before it went. Just, you know what I mean? Scaring them, drawing it out. When the minute you said second floor, have you ever seen the old, I think it's Swedish movie, Let the Right One In?
No.
They made a remake of it about the female, the little girl that's the vampire.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Dude,
Right One In?
Yeah, you need to check this out.
How old is this?
Like 08, I think, is when it came out. It's prior to 2010.
No. Did you see the new Troll 2 came out, though?
I haven't watched it yet, but I did see it was out. I got to watch it.
It's on Netflix. Kidding?
Dude, I got to watch the crazy troll stuff.
I like the troll. The
Troll Hunter was amazing.
Yeah, that was a good
one. And then Troll was good. We're not talking about the old, but Kyle and I both love the old Troll.
Oh, the old one with the ring?
Yeah. Those are still good,
too. The girl from Poltergeist was in it, the little blonde girl.
And the dude in Troll 2 is the dude that's in Willow.
Yeah.
And then he was in they took it down, but the Willow series.
Oh, yeah. Go back to the Let the Right One In.
I don't want to spoil it, but it's creepy.
It's a vampire movie?
Yeah. You'll like it.
All right, I'll check it out.
I'll tell you what you're not going to want to check out. From Pennsylvania, y'all. Again. I guess, what are you, Amish up there just summoning monsters? What are you doing? This comes from, Tuscarora State Forest in Pennsylvania.
It's a cool name, man.
It is, isn't it? It says this. I was hunting. Okay, first, JL sends this. So look, I was hunting or deer hunting just north of the Tuscarora State Forest on Saturday, December 3rd of 2016. I have a tree stand at the edge of a large field owned by a friend. Now, I've been hunting there for almost 20 years, and I've bagged several deer there. Well, good for you. That early morning, around 7:10 a.m., just as it was getting light, I noticed a few deer in the distance running towards the state forest. Looking through my scope, I thought I saw two coyotes following the deer. However, these coyotes didn't look quite right. They were larger, almost resembling wolves. About 15 minutes later, I was watching a buck at about 600 yards south of me in an open field when it suddenly bolted towards the trees. That's when I saw a large dog-like animal slowly walking or stalking towards me. I was upwind of it, and it soon noticed me in the tree stand. It stopped and stared at me for a few seconds before continuing to walk in my direction. It was about 100 yards away, and I could hear it growling. Now, this was not a dog or a coyote. It reminded me of a wolf, but its back was arched, and it had a huge head. The fur was dark, and its legs were sparsely haired. I contemplated shooting it, but something told me not to. I was also shaking, as this animal genuinely frightened me. Now, once again, it stopped and looked at me. The face resembled that of a wolf, but the snout was shorter than any wolf I'd ever seen in pictures. Its eyes were steely, almost like that of a human's. It was really strange. Something caught its attention, and it ran off towards the south. I stayed on the stand for another hour without seeing anything else. When I finally left, I was extremely cautious, unsure if the creature was still in the area. I made it to my car and drove out of there. Now, later, I spoke to a game commission officer and reported the sighting, and he mentioned that there had been a few reports of large dogs, but they're most likely coyotes. I insisted what I saw was no coyote, but he didn't seem to take my claim very seriously. I then spoke to a guy at church who told me about hyena sightings in the area, and that's what this looks like. And it goes in, large hyena-like cryptid canine is what it basically looked like. So again, we're in Pennsylvania, and we got large dogs.
Yeah.
Whether they're hyenas, whether they're walking wolves, we don't know. But Pennsylvania seems to be the breeding ground. Was Michigan. Now Pennsylvania seems to be piling them in.
Could there be a population of them that have been wild and have been breeding on their own?
Of dog men?
Of like, yeah.
Of dog men?
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I don't have... What other crazy answer could you have for the possibility of giant canines? Unless it's all, oh, they're all skinwalkers. What, all of them?
Yeah, I know. That's
what I'm
saying.
Is there just a giant cult of skinwalkers, of people, or are werewolf folks for real?
Why does it seem like there's more and more sightings of them?
And how come nobody ever sees them in leather jackets riding motorcycles the way they're portrayed in every other show?
You know what I'm talking about? Like when we first started the show 13 years ago, there was only like a handful of freaking stories.
Yeah.
And now it's like every week
and we
I see another one.
Yeah.
Is it just people making stuff up or is there actually real sightings?
Oh, I'm sure it's probably a bit of both.
100%. There's some that are made up. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it dilutes the water on the ones that are legitimate.
But it also feels... And we discussed this before, is when they started talking about the Slender Man. We went in and found some old stuff about it from way prior to that. And then you go in, it almost feels, and we always go to this, like a tulpa.
Yeah, an egregore.
It's like the minute evil finds out what trips your trigger, it finds ways to morph or do whatever it can to impose itself on you. And like I said, you know, there's a sighting, or not really a sighting, there was a person found dead a few years back, not far, you know, from here, not but a few counties over, and they really don't know, right? Remember,
yeah,
it looks
that.
Like it was a large animal attack, and they believe the person was standing when this thing attacked, and whatever was attacking was standing also when it attacked. Like, there's a lot of wild stuff that goes on. So I don't know. I have no idea. And I don't even know how
it would react. That was up by, like, Heiko or somewhere, I think.
Yeah, down there. Yeah, I can't remember right offhand, but the exact spot. But, yeah. Yeah, and it was just, it's weird. But it's, what could it be? And if it, look, that's a flesh and blood creature. It's, I mean, it's, I don't know. It just, it's a very unsettling idea that Pennsylvania is covered up with dog men.
Yeah, man, that is wild. Well, let's take a break. We got to pay some bills around here. When we get back from the break, I got a pretty crazy story I'm going to share with y'all. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Hey, y'all. Owning gold used to feel complicated, but Acre Gold makes it easy. Step one, choose a subscription plan that fits your budget. Step 2. Make small, automatic monthly payments so you never have to face a big upfront cost. Step 3. When your balance is ready, Acre Gold sends certified, Swiss-made, 24-karat gold bars straight to your door, packed discreetly and delivered securely. That's it. No confusion, just steady, real wealth that you can hold. It sounds wild, but we've used it ourselves and it works. Many customers have stayed with Acre Gold for more than 5 years because building a supply of gold never loses its appeal.
Gold has been on a tear, its price rising over 40% in the last year. Now the best time to subscribe is right now. So stop working for money and make your money work for you. Go to getacregold.com to sign up.
Love the night? Reach for Zen After Dark, a limited cocktail-inspired series for those who get up when the sun goes down. Try Zen's Mojito, Spiced Cider, and Espresso Martini nicotine pouches. Find them at select retailers, available while supplies last. Zen After Dark. Bring on the night. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect to your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives.
So you got more? Is this more Pennsylvania madness?
I don't believe this one's from Pennsylvania. No, this one is not, but it is a bizarre encounter. It says, my experience took place in the year 2000 while I was living in the San Fernando Valley in the greater Los Angeles area. I was 28 years old at the time, and back then, I'd never heard of the term shadow people. And to my knowledge, the concept wasn't clearly defined the way it is today.
Bet you wish you hadn't heard of it now.
Right? At the time, I worked as a research assistant for a very well-known university. I lived in an apartment with two roommates, one of whom would later become my wife, the other a classmate of hers. Both were enrolled in a local graduate program studying genetic science. We were all driven, grounded individuals, focused on work, school, and building careers. Nothing about our lives leaned toward a strange or the paranormal. That night followed a familiar routine. My roommates went to bed between 9:30 and 10 p.m., as they usually did. I stayed up later than normal, reading. I had the next day off and just lost track of time, finally turning in around 2 a.m. The apartment, well, it was quiet. Almost unnaturally so, and it was uncomfortably hot. Summers in the San Fernando Valley tend to trap heat well into the night. Our building was enclosed by a high wall that blocked most airflow, so we relied on open windows to catch whatever night breeze we could. When I finally got into bed beside my future wife, she was already asleep, dead asleep. There was something unusual about it. She didn't stir as I laid down, which struck me odd even then. The bedroom window was tall and narrow, sliding open from the right to the left. A screen covered the outside, and vertical blinds hung on the inside. The blinds were open, allowing in a faint silvery light. A street light or moonlight, I don't quite know. I couldn't tell, which dimly illuminated the bedroom. The air was, it was still. The blinds weren't moving. I lay on my back, beginning to relax, right on the edge of sleep. Then, without warning, the blinds exploded inward. The sound was violent, like someone had crashed straight through the open window. At that exact moment, I saw a dark shape surge from the window area and move instantly into the far corner of the bedroom, diagonally across from me. My heart began to pound. My pulse spiked so hard I could feel it in my throat. The best way I can describe what happened next is this. Every primal alarm in my body went off at once. I wasn't just startled. I was terrified. This wasn't fear that came from thought. It was instinctual. It was immediate. Overwhelming. I froze. That reaction alone has always stood out to me. I grew up in inner city Chicago. I wasn't easily frightened, and I certainly was not paralyzed by fear. But whatever that was in the room felt alien, felt wrong, profoundly unnatural. From where I lay, I could see it in the corner. A shadow shaped roughly like a thin, average-sized man. There was some strange bulk above the shoulders. For years, I've thought it looked like maybe wings. Though it could have been a cloak or some kind of covering. It appeared to be crouching or squatting, as if trying to compress itself into the bedroom corner. It didn't have eyes, at least none that I could see, but I had the unmistakable sense that it was watching me. The only thing I could imagine to do, or manage to do, was to roll onto my side, turning away from it. I couldn't speak. I couldn't move beyond that. I began reciting the Our Father prayer silently over and over, clinging to the words until exhaustion finally pulled me into sleep. Throughout all of this, my future wife never stirred, not once. That, too, has always stayed with me. In the years since, I've read countless other accounts, and the similarities are unsettling. The overwhelming fear, the shadowy form, the sense of an intruder that doesn't belong. Whatever it was didn't flee, unless its crouching in the corner was an attempt to hide. And the physical interaction, the blinds crashing, remains one of the strangest aspects of it all. Even now, I remember that night with startling clarity. I don't know what that shadow was. I can't explain it. But the way my body reacted, without hesitation or reason, has always told me one thing. Whatever was in the room with me was not native to this world. Wow. So,
no thanks. Don't turn your back to it.
Was it a dream? They said that they felt like they were right on the edge of passing out. Maybe the reason their partner didn't stir is because it was just a really crazy dream. But maybe not. They never mentioned the next morning, like when they woke up, like, but the blinds damaged? Was the screen that was covering the window?
Did something crazy
happen? Was it knocked in? Because from the story, it sounded like something come through the window and then crouched in the corner. But they did say that there was a screen covering the window. So that would have to be knocked in if something came through.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was just like that. It was just right at the edge of sleeping.
Right.
When you feel like you're falling.
Yeah,
you think
that
like
happens
sometimes,
right? You've
heard a loud noise. You're like, what is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Turns out it's nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Or a gargoyle flew into his room.
And was waiting for you to turn your back.
Yeah.
There's, I don't like any of the shadow stuff.
I don't like any of the things happening to me while I'm sleeping.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Life is crazy and hectic enough. Can I at least get some rest?
Yeah, if you're going to try to scare me, can you do it while I'm awake?
Yeah.
Like, bro, I'm trying to rest over here. Yeah. Will sent this in, and this is a little unsettling. You're going to enjoy this. This incident occurred in October of 2020 in Pelham and Helena, Alabama. I live near the border of these two towns and followed the sounds into Helena from Pelham. And I want to share as much detail as possible, as my interaction with this situation lasted over an hour and a half. It's been troubling me for a long time, and despite my efforts to rationalize what happened, I haven't been able to do so. So I hope that by sharing my story, someone else might have had a similar experience and might be able to help shed some light on this. I live with my girlfriend in Pelham. And we were playing video games and relaxing late at night, about 1 a.m. This is when I decided I wanted to go outside to smoke a cigarette.
Uh-oh.
When I heard a woman yell, "Someone help me." Now, since I live in a development, I initially thought nothing of it. However, the yelling continued for over 5 minutes, which raised my concern. As I paid closer attention, I realized that the cries were coming from across the main road near my development.
Uh-oh, this sounds like a puckwudgie or a mimic or something trying to lure you in.
In a small patch of woods.
Yeah.
I initially thought it might be a fox, as their sounds can closely resemble a woman's scream, but the cries persisted.
And I've never heard a fox say, someone help me.
No, no, no. I've never heard a fox. What does a fox say? Not that. Yeah. Then I distinctly heard, please help me and please someone help. I'm going to go on record right now saying that I've never shot a fox and I don't ever kill or ever care to.
No.
I think they're awesome.
There's one around here.
Oh, yeah. I watched the one over there at the park on the reg. He's got a girlfriend every now and again, but I think they're awesome.
Yeah.
Because that's how you...
They make good pets.
I think they would be awesome. That'd be awesome to have a pet. But I do know what you're talking about. You can go on YouTube now, folks, and pull up video of the foxes making crazy noises, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't say, please, someone help me. So at this point, I was sure that this wasn't an animal noise. Growing increasingly worried, I approached...
What tipped it off? The speaking of English?
Yeah, the fact that it could enunciate. So growing increasingly worried, I approached the sound, thinking someone might genuinely be in trouble. However, the screams seemed to be moving away from me and deeper into the woods, down the street to another development. Now, by this time, I thought it might be someone's TV or perhaps a Halloween decoration making these sounds. Bro. But it still bothered me. But see, look, I'll give Will this. He's trying to rationalize everything that's going on.
And he's trying to be a good citizen.
I'm just
trying,
right?
He's lending aid to someone in help.
But if I'm rationalizing, help. Like, maybe this isn't what I'm thinking this is. You know, you're trying not to. Okay.
Everybody's had that experience where you tried to be a good person, and then halfway into it, you're like, man, I probably shouldn't even have started down this.
I haven't, because I don't ever try to be a good person. So it says, I started walking through the development while texting my girlfriend about what I've heard, just in case someone really needed help. So as I continued down the road, I found it increasingly difficult to pinpoint the source of the screams, which seemed to be coming from much further away now. So I decided to head back home, reasoning that if someone were in distress, they wouldn't be running so fast over such distances. So on my way back, after about 4 or 5 minutes, the screams started again, much louder this time. I realized they were coming from a larger forest near a cell phone tower. Now, we've covered some creepy stuff from dude hanging off the side of a cell phone tower.
You did. We were on the Ducks Unlimited.
Says, I could hear the screams clearly about 50 yards away, and I noticed the sound moving quickly parallel to me. It shifted roughly 50 yards to my right, then stopped to scream, help me, before running about another 50 yards to my left. I was baffled by how anyone could move so quickly. And this continued for about 5 minutes. The cries only paused for a moment to call out again before resuming their frantic movement. I was torn about whether to enter the forest to help, but I still couldn't see anyone. I noticed bushes moving and twigs snapping, accompanied by the screams. Suddenly, the voice changed and began repeating, "Why aren't you helping me?" This went on rapidly for nearly 2 minutes. Then it shifted again to a low, grunting, growling noise, which terrified me. I realized this wasn't just my imagination and that the situation was escalating. As I processed what was happening, I recognized how far I was from home and how long this bizarre encounter had lasted. It felt as though whatever was making the sound wanted me to enter the forest.
Yeah.
It began moving closer to me, now running back and forth within 20 yards. I caught a glimpse of something that looked human-like, pale or white, crawling low to the ground and moving quickly. The combination of the terrifying grunts and this sight took my fear to a new level. So I decided to call 911 immediately. I knew whatever this thing was, it wasn't friendly. I had never heard of anything like this happening to anyone before, and I felt it was not a good sign. I relayed my location to the 911 operator and informed them about the woman's screams. Once the Helena police arrived, the sounds abruptly stopped. They searched the area but found no trace of anyone. I was left shaken and terrified to go outside at night. I never believed something like this could exist, and it's been messing with my head ever since.
Yeah, man. I'm all for helping people, but like if you start slowly getting lured into the woods,
dude,
you might be like, I think I'm going to call the police.
Don't go into the woods.
Let somebody else handle this. Call out to the voice. Stay right there. Help is on the way.
Dudes with guns are coming. Don't sweat it.
Yeah.
First of all, don't leave the house without being strapped. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two, don't follow voices into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you did the right thing. But an hour and a half. We'll spend a lot of time monkeying around with this thing.
Yeah.
Like, bro, not for me, dude. Any of the stuff, it instantly goes back to, because we spend so much time in the woods, it instantly goes back to Faye. The minute I think of whistling, of anything calling out, like I know there's the crawlers, the pale, but to me it still feels like some evil version of Faye just trying to pull you in, take a drink, take a bite, come with me, let me, I don't want to be lost with all the creepy pale crawlers in the woods.
I know. It terrifies me when I'm in the woods. I can only imagine how scary it must be to hunt like on public land because there could be other people out there. So that would be alarming to me. It's like, I hope somebody don't shoot me. Yeah. I hope we're in like where we go. It's private. There's nobody out there but you. I can hear the gate open.
If I shot you, it'd be on purpose, right?
Yeah.
If you get shot where we're at, it's because somebody wanted to shoot you.
So I can only imagine how terrifying it must be to hunt public land.
But just walk.
I always think about that.
Man, just the idea of this thing running away from you, right? No more noise. It's going away from you. So you know it's trying to lure you back. You pull the plug, right? Turn around and come back. I'm not going that far. Then all of a sudden, within 5 minutes, it's within 50 yards of you. Now it's on the other side of you. It's bouncing. So was there two?
Right, right.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's not awesome.
Speaking of creepy and not awesome, listen to this.
Here we go.
This happened years and years ago. Back when my internet service provider still had offices in a small shopping center before they upgraded to a much nicer accommodations elsewhere. Now, at the original location, there was a drop box for payments, and my internet bill was due. So late one night, I made the trip. It was around 9:30 p.m. when I left my apartment. I lived in a relatively isolated area, about 10 to 15 minutes in a car drive into downtown Abilene. For context, Abilene is not a huge city, roughly 110,000 people, but it was late enough that things were already quiet. Next door to my internet service provider's old office was a budget movie theater, one of those places where tickets cost about $1.50, and that night it was showing the cinematic masterpiece, Mortal Kombat.
Oh, Mortal Kombat!
I pulled into the mostly empty parking lot and parked near the theater. Using the glow from the marquee, I started filling out my check inside the car. So first of all, I feel for this person. You can tell how old they are by all the things they're saying. Filling out a check to drop off a payment in a drop box. And the fact that the theater is showing Mortal Kombat, man.
Time slip.
Time frame wise. I was in Abilene around the time that Mortal Kombat came out.
Hey, that's a good point.
So this might have been happening right where I was at. It says, I pulled into a mostly empty parking lot and parked near the theater. Using the glow from the marquee, I started filling up my check inside the car. That's when I heard a knock on my driver's side window.
It was Kyle.
I looked over.
He said, hey, man, you gonna use all that check?
I saw two children standing outside.
Oh, I don't like where this is going at all.
Now, I need to describe them carefully.
No, you don't.
Because there was one very important detail I didn't notice until much later. Both of the kids were boys, caught in that strange in-between age where it's hard to tell exactly how old they are. My best guess at the time was somewhere between 10 and 14. The first boy, or the spokesman, stood slightly taller than the other.
Why do you gotta add that?
He wore a gray, checkered pullover hoodie and jeans. I could see his shoes. He had olive-toned skin and curly, medium-length brown hair. What struck me the most was his confidence. He stood there calmly, like he owned the moment. The second boy never spoke, not once. He had pale skin with faint freckles and a nervous energy written all over him. He kept glancing around as if expecting something to go wrong. He wore a light green pullover and had a pale, orange-colored hair. They didn't appear to be related. My first thought was, great, they're going to ask me for some money. And then the air changed. Now, I've mentioned this before, but right before something strange happens to me, there's a shift, almost like a pressure change. Just enough time to realize it's already too late. Now, I don't know how why they say they mentioned it before, because I never heard them say that before.
It's already too late.
I suddenly felt uneasy. Not confused, not startled, just I felt uneasy.
Welcome to the club.
The spokesman smiled. And for reasons I couldn't explain, that smile sent ice through my veins. My heart rate spiked. Every fight or flight instinct I had came online at once. Something was deeply wrong, but I couldn't yet identify what. I cracked the window just a bit and I said, "Yes?" The boy smiled wider. His teeth were unnaturally white. "Hey, mister, what's up?" he said. His voice sounded young, but his dictation was calm and it felt wrong, too controlled, too deliberate. "We have a problem. My friend and I want to see the movie, but we forgot our money. We need to go to our house to get it. You think you could help us out?" Now, I've spoken to plenty of kids in my life. Usually they're nervous, apologetic, rambling. This kid was none of those things. He spoke as if my cooperation was already guaranteed, as if the outcome had already been decided. I said, well, that was all I could manage to spit out. That's when the quiet boy looked at his friend and then at me.
Uh-oh.
With an expression of confusion and guilt, almost like he couldn't believe I hadn't opened the door already. The spokesman frowned slightly. "Come on, mister," he said smoothly. "We just need to go to our house. We're just two little boys." Now that line terrified me. Something about the way he said it, not pleading, not reassuring, sent alarm bells screaming through my head.
Uh-oh.
I tried to stall. I said, what movie are you seeing?" I asked. "Mortal Kombat, of course," he replied instantly. The silent boy just nodded. I glanced at the marquee, then at the clock. The movie had started over an hour earlier. It was the last showing of the night. The quiet boy looked increasingly anxious. He seemed to realize I was starting to notice things. "Just let us in," the spokesman said gently. "We can't get into your car unless you do. We'll just go to our mother's house." We locked eyes. That's when I realized, horrified, that my hand had drifted to the door handle. I was unlocking it. I yanked my hand back and looked away. Then I looked again, and that's when I saw their eyes. They were completely black. No whites, no pupils, no irises, just glossy, coal black orbs reflecting the red and white light of the theater marquee. The silent boy's face twisted in panic, like something had gone terribly wrong. The spokesman, well, he looked furious. "Come on, mister," he snapped. "We won't hurt you. You have to let us in. We don't have a gun or anything." That last sentence chilled me to the bone because the way he said it made one thing clear. They didn't need one. I slammed the car into reverse and tore out of the parking lot, not caring who might be behind me. I glanced back once. They were gone. The sidewalk was empty. I drove home in pure panic, ready to run through anyone who tried to stop me. When I reached my house, I rushed inside and locked everything, doors, windows, and then I stood there scanning the room and the sky. Now, maybe it was nothing, I told myself. Maybe it was just kids, but with, you know, weird, really weird contacts in, right? I mean, that's probably what happened. Later, I told my friend Chad, my longtime ghost hunting partner, about what had happened. He had two friends with him at the time, both claiming psychic abilities. I told the story over the speakerphone, saving one detail for last. Halfway through, one of the women interrupted me. She said, "They had black eyes, didn't they?" She asked, "They were completely black, right?" I said, "Yeah." She went quiet. She said, "I had a dream last week. Children like that were outside my house. They wanted to be let in. I knew if I did, well, they probably would have killed me." She paused, and she said, "They would have killed you, too, if you had let them in your car." So, I'm left with three questions. What did I encounter that night? What would have happened if I had opened that car door? And why does Chad always get to hang out with cool psychic chicks? Ben. Black-eyed kid encounter.
Man, you know they got the cure for that. They invented it in 1950.
What is it?
Remington 870.
Oh, Pump action shot.
I looked up the Mortal Kombat film. You would have been there. It's 95, bro.
See?
You were there.
I had no idea black-eyed kids were...
They were waiting for you back then. They've been tracking you this whole time, bro.
I wasn't there for long. One semester, and I realized college was not for me.
He's like, no. Nope.
Gave it a try.
Nope. No.
Anyways, that's pretty cool. Well, let's take a break. When we get back from the break, I got another one I'll share.
Oh, I've got a couple I want to share with you.
Okay, folks, stick with us. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
The night, reach for Zen After Dark, a limited cocktail-inspired series for those who get up when the sun goes down. Try Zen's mojito, spiced cider, and espresso martini nicotine pouches. Find them at select retailers, available while supplies last. Zen After Dark, bring on the night. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Love the night? Reach for Zen After Dark, a limited cocktail-inspired series for those who get up when the sun goes down. Try Zen's mojito, spiced cider, and espresso martini nicotine pouches. Find them at select retailers, available while supplies last. Zen After Dark. Bring on the night. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cashback is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cashback. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're back. I've got some other unsettling stuff. I got two of them.
I've got something in my shoe. Go ahead.
Get it out of there. It's your foot. This is what you got in there. Or frostbite, that's a toe rattling around in there. Is that a toe loose? Need to call the tow truck?
It's something's wrong with the cushion in my inside of my shoe.
What? Such an old man. Listen to this, old man. Lon got this sent to him. This is really interesting. This is what he said. I received a telephone call from an eyewitness who claims to have observed an upright canine in Cambria County, Pennsylvania.
Man, what is this?
Bro, I'm telling you.
The Pennsylvania show?
Older gentleman named John. This is that he'd been fishing at Wilmore Reservoir on Friday, June 1st of 2018. At dusk, between 8 and 8:30 p.m., he noticed something at the edge of the nearby woods, a bipedal creature. As he focused on it, he soon realized that it was white and resembled a wolf on two legs watching me.
See, I think there's a group of them in Pennsylvania.
I think
so. A breeding population.
Well, I think it just may be it's the bikers, just like from True Blood. They're just hanging out, just changing out and just messing with folks. John described the creature as completely white, the fur and skin, and features a large wolf-like head. He said the body was tapered. It has a skinny waist and thick, muscular chest. Its arms were long and muscular, ending in long fingers, and the legs were sturdy, displaying a well-defined muscular build. I just described Kyle Filson. While the arms, legs, and head were covered with fur. Well, all except the head. There ain't no fur on his head. It says that the torso and chest had sparse fur coverage as well. He estimated that the creature's height was at least 7 foot tall. The creature looked at John for several seconds before turning to its right and walking along the edge of the woods for about 20 to 30 feet, after which it ducked into the trees. And although a few other people were nearby, none reacted to the sighting. John was initially hesitant to report what he had seen, but later found the Google advertisement of Lon's online and reached out, called Lon to tell him this whole thing. Yeah. And went into, and then, of course, Lon put him in touch with some other people that are actually part of the Pennsylvania Lichen Investigators team.
What? There's a whole lichen investigation?
There's a group of dudes that go out and interview people that have had these crazy dogman sightings.
That's insane.
In Pennsylvania. So, if you've had some crazy dogman sightings or anything, not just in Pennsylvania, anywhere in the world, shoot them to us. Send them to us. Send 100%. Them to Lon. Holler at us. We'll get them to him. All you got to do is make one thing. You send them to us, send them to him. Either way, we'll get them in. I am so still, that's what we just discussed, so curious about this dogman surge. Now, we've known about the Mothman,
the waves, flying
humanoid
right?
wave. It seems like this dogman stuff's been building. And as you go back, looking at the dates, it almost makes me feel like more people are learning about it is actually what it is.
But there are hot spots, like you said. Oh, there's a lot of sightings in Wisconsin. There's a lot of sightings in Michigan. There's a lot of sightings in Pennsylvania.
Probably because it's cooler up there. You wouldn't want to be a giant wolf in like Florida, bro. Or like down around Houston, you want to be wearing a giant fur suit down by Space City in the summer? You'll die.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You'll die. I'm like, yeah, move them up there into the cold. Mm. Keep them in Pennsylvania. I want to go. I got two places I want to go in Pennsylvania.
Gettysburg.
That's one. And the second one is to the Lancaster Archery, the Lancaster Classic.
Yeah, the Lancaster.
We don't
say it right.
It's Lancaster.
That's the way we say
it. Yeah, it's supposed to be Lancaster, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Kind of like Saskatchewan. It's one word, not Saskatchewan. Like the way, I get it.
Yeah, Lancaster would be a good place because I'd like to see all the Amish stuff around there, too.
Well,
like the handcrafted furniture.
There is an awesome Amish store right next to the archery shop.
Makes
the
sense.
Reason I know is because my wife and my niece and my daughter and my great niece were all up there this summer.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Remember, they went and they were like at the Amish. They weren't even going to go to the archery shop. They had no idea it was even in there besides me talking about it. They pulled up to the Amish spot and was like, we're going over there for dad. So, yeah, pretty good dad. They brought me a couple hoodies.
I'd like to go up there when the Lancaster tournament
Let's
is going
go.
On.
Let's go. That's in
you
2 months.
You know what I'm saying? To go watch
Let's
it
go
live.
If we're Bear going, bow. We're shooting.
Oh, I'm terrible.
It doesn't matter if you're terrible. Why would you go and watch somebody else do what you could do? It's going to cost you like $35. So what, you get your ass kicked the very first day and you have to watch the rest of it? At least you participated.
That is true. That's pretty cool.
Just like we did
in
that
participation trophy?
Well, first of all, you have to be able to pronounce it in order to receive it. It's about like the disc golf tournament we went in. We'll be dead last, but we had the most fun.
It was fun.
The most fun.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
So I've got something else I'm going to share with you.
Sure.
Get a load of this thing, okay? Kev says this here. It says, I've seen real goblins before.
Okay.
It was in Wisconsin, and it was between some building and a graveyard. It says they were circling around some tree, and it was quite foggy when they appeared, but they were unmistakably goblins. Now, this was back in around 06 or 07, and I think about this all the time. It was in a small town, not too terribly far outside of Fontiac. The goblins were short and mostly brownish. So this is already starting to sound like Dwindy, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had large toothy mouths, large yellow eyes, and small, not quite horn nubs on their head.
Huh.
This sounds more like a little demon. I wish I'd been able to stand there and actually take some time and look at them more, but it was quite a terrifying experience. There was also another fella there with me at the time who's corroborated my story by telling me what he saw and that our descriptions have matched exactly. He is since not wanting to speak about this at all. They don't even talk. Period, about after seeing this. He said that the goblins were incredibly short, probably about 3 foot tall, maybe even shorter. They may have had little stubby tail nubs as well. We're not really sure.
That's cool.
Some of them had a greenish hue, but mostly were brown. They were all dancing around a tree when I saw them. I'm hoping other people may have seen something as such. I'm not sure, but if so, I can't wait to hear.
That's cool.
So not too, besides in the fog, there we go, right up the front, in the fog.
Yeah.
Something creepy happening. Sounds like Faye again, though, doesn't it?
It reminds me of the old movie, The Ghoulies. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Or like, yeah. Or maybe Gremlins, these yep. little creatures. Do you know they're making a new Gremlins?
No, for real?
The movie is coming out late next year, I think.
Oh, why?
I don't know, because Hollywood has no new ideas.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
I didn't like Gremlins 2, but the first one was awesome. That's a Christmas movie, no?
Yes.
Don't facts. You think?
I don't oh, facts. 100% Gremlins. Just like Die Hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Listen to this. Shortly after my 18th birthday, I went on a mission trip to Mexico with my mom and my stepfather's church. I wasn't especially religious. I'm still not. But they believed it would be good for me to see poverty up close, to help people who had nothing. They paid for the trip, and since it meant leaving the country for the first time, I agreed. I was excited. We stayed in the city of Victoria, Mexico. Now, during the day, we visited small neighborhoods, rows of crumbling houses made from patched wood and concrete. We helped them with repairs, headed out for supplies, and tried to offer some kind of entertainment, any entertainment we could for the kids at night. But from the moment I arrived, something felt off. We slept inside a massive, aging church. The sanctuary itself was beautiful, but it was worn in a forgotten way. But the dormitory section was another story. It was a maze of narrow sleeping areas separated by low walls. Each section held two sets of metal bunk beds and a small space to stash some clothes and some bags. The bathrooms were communal. The air always felt stale or heavy. That first night, after a long day of work, we ate dinner and turned in early. I was exhausted, but I couldn't sleep. My friend James was on the lower bunk next to me, and we started talking quietly in the dark. We joked about how creepy the church felt. Then James told me something that made my stomach tighten. He said he'd been hearing voices while he slept. He wasn't laughing when he said it. He looked genuinely shaken. He thought maybe it was just a dream, but he said it made him feel uncomfortable. Still, I brushed it all off. Nightmares do happen. Old buildings make strange sounds. Eventually, we both drifted off. Around 3 a.m., I woke up to a soft, rustling sound. At first, I thought it was something turning over in bed, but then I realized it was coming from right beside me. I turned my head. Standing over James's bed were two shadowy figures. They weren't solid, not exactly. More like thick darkness pulled into a human shape. They leaned over him. And they were whispering. I could hear it. And James, well, he was whispering back. One of the shadows slid off the bed and onto the floor with a smooth, unnatural motion, like liquid spilling downward.
It smooth operator.
Yeah. Sade, right?
That's right.
It moved around to the other side of him. They were surrounding him. The whispers were growing louder. I could hear the words, but I didn't recognize the language. It was not Spanish. It wasn't like anything I'd ever heard before. James was speaking back in the same harsh, broken sounds. It was guttural, wrong, like something being forced through him. Then his body started shaking, violently. I lay there, frozen, watching this unfold. Every few minutes, his body would seize again, his voice rising and falling as the shadows hovered close. I don't know how long it lasted, maybe 15 minutes, but it felt endless. I wanted to scream. I wanted to run. Finally, fear pushed me into motion. I bolted from the dormitory and ran to one of the youth pastors. I shook him awake and told him something was wrong, that James was in trouble. He followed me back without hesitation. When we reached the bed, the pastor's eyes widened, but he didn't panic. He stepped forward, placed his hand firmly on James' chest, and began to pray. "Lord," he said, steady and calm, "remove this evil from this place." The shadows reacted instantly. They let out a sharp moaning sound, high and hollow, and then they streaked across the walls like smoke caught in a sudden wind. They were gone. James stopped shaking. He woke up, confused, terrified, drenched in sweat. The pastor pulled him aside to talk. Then he spoke to me. He told me that we had seen things like this before. He said without hesitation that what I saw were demons. James later told me that he thought he was dreaming, that something was attacking him from inside his own mind. He said he felt like he was losing control, like something was trying to take him over. For the rest of the trip, I felt safer, knowing the pastors were nearby, but the fear never left. I stayed awake talking to James until he fell asleep almost every night, because he was terrified, naturally, of closing his eyes. I don't know if what we saw were demons. I'm still skeptical when it comes to religion. But I believe this, whatever those things were, shadow people, entities, something else entirely, they were real, and they are not something you ever want to invite in.
Nope.
Wow.
Nope.
Thank God the pastor was there. But this is an old Mexican church.
Yeah.
And the pastor seemed to know exactly what was going
instantly.
On.
Instantly.
Like he had seen this before.
I'm glad there's people out there still like that.
Yeah.
Like these old, like, demon battling warriors, right? Just like the idea of them knowing a level that stuff going on around you. Like I think about the movie Constantine.
Yeah.
Right. There's a battle going on and 99% of us have no idea. We think we know, but we don't.
I believe in that stuff. I don't mess with it either.
Well, if there's good, there has to be bad. For if there is light, there has to be dark.
Exactly. That's why I don't play with spirit boards.
Nope. I'll talk about monsters in the woods all day. But outside of that, I don't want none of that smoke. I don't want anything latching
on. I don't go ghost hunting.
Nope.
Where were we at? It was like some kind of haunted ghost tour, and my wife wanted to go. And I'm like, I'm not going.
I'm out. Yeah.
I'm not going.
You know which one I did go on, and it wasn't a ghost? It was the one in New Orleans, where you walk around and see the cemetery and all that stuff. I did that. That's the only one I have ever been on in my life. And probably won't do it again.
I did that too, but that was mostly like just an exploring an old, cool-looking cemetery. And it was in the daytime.
That's another good point.
And I got to see the Nicolas Cage pyramid or whatever.
Yep.
Where he's going to be buried.
Right there by the Ruby Slipper. I could go over there and get breakfast and all that. I mean, like, come on, man. Mm-hmm. Come on. I got something I'm going to share with you.
Okay.
This is another one Lon sent. Now, this one is one that I really enjoy. You're going to get a kick out of this, everybody. Now, this is serious. But I'm probably not going to take it as much as serious, but it is definitely unsettling.
What does that mean?
You'll see why. RN.
You're not going to take it serious.
Well, I'm taking it serious, but it's you're going to get a kick out of this whole thing.
All right.
Everybody, I think, will enjoy it. Fellow's name's RM. He contacted Lon saying something had happened to him and three other men while they were attempting to harvest their marijuana crop.
Okay.
There we go. You ready? Get a load. In 2017, this is when it... Now... Apparently, it's a big crop. So this is what he wrote down. It says, "We got into the field and fanned out. I was the farthest to the right. Straight ahead in the distance, we saw a blue flash of light that originated from the cemetery. Mm-hmm. It appeared to be 10 to 15 foot off the ground. This is all taking place in Ontario, near the Creemore Avenue, near Clearview Township. okay? Close to the Bethel Union Pioneer Cemetery in Canada. That's right. So this appeared to be 10 to 15 foot off the ground. Then I heard a loud crashing thump as if something heavy had fallen. A few hundred feet to my left, the same thing happened. A blue ring-shaped flash of light. Then these creatures tore out of the trees and into the cornfield at an incredible speed, faster than any living creature I had ever seen. They moved supernaturally fast. Whatever they were doing, they began to bluff, charging at us three or four times and stopping just outside the line of sight, maybe two or three rows away. They were as big as grizzly bears and as fast as race cars. They moved between my friends and I. There was no doubt. Yeah. Then I saw the head and shoulders of one of them, and it had a large wolf-like head, pointed ears, and a broad shoulder. It had no neck and was situated directly on top of their shoulders, just a head on shoulders. It was a terrifying sight. Said, there is no doubt in my mind as
to
what
they were jonesing, man.
They were just needing their bud. It was only 10 foot away at most, and it charged at me from the front and the left while my buddy's dog came in from the right. I almost shot the dog, who was losing her mind at the moment, whining, whimpering, and shaking. At that point, I started praying to Jesus Christ himself, and instantly the two dog-like creatures, or whatever they were, turned and bolted back into the cornfield from whence they came towards the cemetery. So it's like a big cornfield, and then the weed, boom, here they come pouring out of it.
I don't know exactly what strain this guy's growing, because I think he might have partaken.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe not. Maybe it is they're drawn to everything that might be what they consider.
I think the guy's just super paranoid and imagined that they were coming for him.
Now you're... Afterwards, my friends and I regrouped, and they mentioned they'd also been charged. The guy who had driven us there claimed he saw it as well. I told him that I had. I continued praying as I looked in the direction I'd seen them run off. We still had serious job to do with thousands of dollars in the field to harvest. We had finished up and were preparing to leave. However, they doubled back around on us. While my friend and I were struggling to drag a large blue tarp along the tractor access route, we passed a large bush. One of these creatures was right there, and my friend screamed, "There's a wolf." As I looked up, I saw it running like a man on two legs. The creature ran about 10 foot into the woods and stopped dead in its tracks. My friend and I were ready to go, and he asked, "Is it coming back to get us?" I started praying out loud again, and nothing else happened. We managed to drag everything to the car. Since it was a small hatchback, someone had to stay behind, and I thought, well, this is great. There was something seriously wrong, and it only seemed to keep it at bay with my praying, so my friends didn't know that that's what I'd been doing. So I felt that one of them was in danger if I didn't stay. So I believe in the Holy Spirit and that it was protecting me, and I could feel it strongly. So the dog and I stayed behind and spent the next hour up on the road while she whined and cried. Now, why they didn't send the dog, you got so much weed in your car, you can't pack your dog home with you? Come on, man. How much weed's in the hatchback? The dog don't take up much room. Put the dog in the car. I was praying and holding my ground. I noticed one creature pacing back and forth behind the embankment at the field's entrance. Another beast was on the opposite side of the entrance road, hidden behind a huge blackberry bush that hung over the ditch no more than 10 foot from us. The dog was so distressed that I thought she might have a heart attack. Every time I see her now, I know she remembers that night because she gives me a look and then starts trembling. Since that day, she has formed a strong bond with me. So your buddy's dog and you have got PTSD because y'all wouldn't put it in the car because you had too much dope in it.
Yeah, I would have just left the dope and just got out of there.
Well, now let's not get carried away. I mean, you could have still taken some dope, but y'all could have made two dope trips and at least took your dog with
you. There was a movie a couple years ago called Sasquatch, I think. Where you thought it was I thought it was a Bigfoot movie, and it turned out it was like a guy with a marijuana grow, and they were faking like Bigfoot tracks and stuff around there.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Keep migrants out. Like, this is a real documentary.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's pretty much what it was, is they had this whole big run-in with it, with these dog men trying to take over their pot field. Now, look, I'm not up on the grow laws or whatever's going on, but it sounds like you're harvesting at night. And if you're harvesting at night, it's usually because of two reasons. One, it's really hot outside. Or two, it's because you're not supposed to be doing it.
I'm going to go with number two.
So I don't know which one, but there you go.
I still think that they partaked and that they imagined all that.
Well, if so, and y'all know what strain it is, email us. We're kind of curious. I know to stay away from anything. Dude, if you were to smoke or drink anything and then start seeing that, I would never do it again.
Of course not.
You'd be like, no, I'm good, man.
Well,
I'm good.
Maybe I would again, but...
Here we go.
I was curious as to what states are the most haunted, and Pennsylvania is pretty high up there.
I'm not surprised, man.
What it's I was wild. Surprised is Texas is ranked higher.
Really?
It well, says
there's
that
there's more of it.
It says because of all the oil booms, there's a lot of ghost towns.
Oh, yeah, that's stuff facts. Left over, West so. Texas, man. It's wild, right?
Yeah, I never thought about that. That's
folks,
pretty cool.
Like we talked about at the beginning of the show, too. It's that kind of year, that type of year again, right? Everybody gets bummed up. Everybody gets down and out. And all. Yeah. If you're having problems for real, 988. Just dial 988. They'll get you some help.
Yeah, yeah.
If you so have any- just, yeah, let's just everybody be real cool. Right? This is a good time. Everybody, we need you. You're enough, right? You're enough. We just need you here to keep listening and finding fun stories.
That's right. If you have stories you want to share with Cam and I and the listeners, email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the hotline, 888-393-2783.
Call him on his cell phone.
If you want to support the show and you want more Expanded Perspectives, don't forget about Expanded Perspectives Elite. Just go to patreon.com/expandedperspectivesElite. You can help out the show. You can get an ad-free version of this show, as well as Elite content going back years and years. There's lots of episodes on there. Oh, and also Christmas is coming up. If you want to get somebody something cool, you can give them Expanded Perspectives Elite as a gift. Just go to patreon.com/expandedperspectivesElite/gift. That's about all the time we have for this episode. Till next time, folks, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.